Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. God has navigated our niches and allowed us this privilege of being participatory in this place once again. Certainly we owe him all the honor and glory, because God is mighty and he does mighty things in our lives. This is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. It's good to be alive, alert and active. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. Could have been another way. The Lord deemed it necessary for us to have this blessed privilege of being present in this place once again. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you. For you are God, and besides thee, there's none other. You said how you look low, you orchestrate our affairs. Lord, we yield ourselves to you because you are the caregiver, caretaker, and the captain of our life and living. Father, we've come to the realization that without you, we can do nothing. Lord, but with you, we can do all things. Where we are, you brought us. What we have, you gave it to us. What we know, you taught us. Lord, for that reason, we give you all the honor and glory. Because we are because of who you are. Thank you, Lord, for what has transpired thus far. And as always, we ask for oneness. Lord, because Jesus prayed, make us one that the world may know that you have sent him. Lord, we don't want the gospel message hindered or hampered, but we want it to have free course in us and through us, so that others, along with ourselves, will be saved. Lord, we pray now that you be a God in the midst of us as you open the gate, manifest your presence. Lord, that our coming be not in vain. And when we would have finished in this worship experience, and you would have finished with us, Lord, we will be made better. We will be better off than we were when we came. Glory to your name. Now, Father, I pray that you counsel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing will hinder your word from going forth today, as the rain and the snow descend from heaven. Watereth the earth to give bread to the eater and seed to the sower. So shall your word go forth and will not return unto you void. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the persistence of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, bless the Lord again, if you will. I was sitting and standing as the choir, as they were singing, and I was trying to figure out what I was to do next. They have sang so hard. And listen, if you weren't touched by their singing, my God. One of my good friends would say, you're not dry wood, you're wet wood. You ought to be on fire. Because God has used them mightily to share with us praise and worship. Thank God for this melodious singing choir, along with the musicians, minister of music. Come on, bless the Lord for them. Thank God for these preachers and the persons of Reverend McCoy, Reverend Mims, and Reverend Foster. Any other preachers in the house, we thank God for your presence. Thank God for these deacons and trustees who have devoted us in service and to service and to the worship of our God during the devotional period. That is necessary because it postures our heart. It prepares our heart for the worship and word. Thank God for the Environmental Safety Committee and volunteers who have assured our safe coming in and our safety while we are here in worship and our safety when we exit. COVID is still very real. As regulations and all are being relaxed, I said on Tuesday that COVID is a German shepherd with teeth. It still will bite you. So don't you take it lightly. And because regulations are being relaxed in other places, we have to be careful. And we have to be as diligent as we can. The Bible tells us to be sober and vigilant. COVID is an invisible enemy with teeth. It'll bite you. And if you are bitten by COVID, sickness is a part of it. So we want to be safe. We thank God for your presence, your commitment and courage to be here on a weekly basis. We are looking better and better every week, and we thank God for you. Listen, on Wednesdays we have reopened the church. On Tuesday, I don't know where I'm getting Wednesday from. But on Tuesday we have reopened the church for in-person Bible study. And we're having a marvelous time in the Lord. We have been for 2 weeks now, and we have had such a wonderful time. Listen, so good to see Miss Bruce this morning. Y'all bless God for Miss Bruce. Amen. Pray for Miss Hashberry. I think on yesterday she turned 100. Praise God for her. And I ask that you pray for Mother Strait. She was hospitalized, but on yesterday she was released. And she's convalescing. So pray for her and her family. Pray for Miss Evans. She's hospitalized now. And she desires and deserves our prayers. So pray for our mothers. We have some aged mothers, 190s and all, and these are trying times, and they need our prayers. Amen. Amen. This is something else I want you to do. I want you to look to your right and to your left. Now, if you're looking at me, you can't be looking to your right or left. And I want you to write the person's names down to your right and to your left. And I want you to commit yourself to praying for them. Amen. You don't have to know what's wrong with them. You don't have to know what's going on. Amen. But commit yourself to praying for them. Amen. Amen. Look to your right and to your left. And I want you to commit yourself to praying for the persons to your right and to your left. Now I need you to look up here at me now, and I need you to commit to praying for me. Amen. 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 Psalms 27. Psalms 27. For the sake of time, let me only read two verses, but we will be preaching from verses 1 through 14, but let me just read two. And the two verses I want to read are verses 1 and 2. If you have it, say amen. Amen. If you're still looking for it, say wait. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That's a question. The Lord is my strength, or is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. The Lord will trip them up for you. They stumbled and fell. The abounding power of faith in God. The abounding power of faith in God. Psalm 27 is a song of firm faith in God. Firm faith to endure trials and troubles. David was no stranger to trials and trouble. He didn't have to go look for trouble and trials. Trials and trouble would frequent his presence. David, as a stripling of a lad, tending his father's sheep out on the hills and the plains, wasn't looking for trouble, but trouble found him. A lion and a bear came to eat up his sheep. Trouble will find you. David being called in from the field, anointed as the second king of Israel. Prior to his reign as king, had the awesome responsibility of stroking the harp to soothe the evil spirit of Saul. And in carrying out his duty, trouble found him. David, as a faithful soldier in Israel's army, killed thousands, even killed the giant Goliath. And the women got together, started singing a song that Saul killed his thousand, but David, his 10,000. And in the song, the jealous spirit of Saul was stirred in him. And there again, David found himself in trouble. As king, he was reposed and relaxing from war, One morning early, he thought he would go out on his balcony and take him a good stretch and a yarn. Look down from his balcony, and there was a damsel taking a bath. He didn't have to go look for trouble. Trouble knew his address. And he called in for the young damsel and impregnated her. And to cover up his sin, he had her husband killed by placing him on the front line. One episode of trouble led to another, because after he had Uriah killed, the Lord's judgment fell on his house. The same woman that he impregnated had a son, and that son died. Trouble. David had children, and one of his sons, Absalom, raped his daughter, Tamar. Trouble. And Amnon killed Absalom. Trouble. But not only was he satisfied with the blood of his brother's life, he wanted his own father's, David's life. And trouble found David again when Absalom tried to take the kingdom from him. Trouble. Let me pause parenthetically, say to us, that not only was David no stranger to trouble, but some of you in here, trouble knows your address. If it's not one thing, it's another. Let me just poll the house. Are there any people in here who knows about trouble? Is there anybody in here, trouble has showed up at your address unannounced, without a call, without forewarning? Is there anybody in here can be a witness? Reverend, I know what you're talking about, because trouble knows my address. But David, under trouble, expressed an exercise strong and lively faith. Faith was the way David kept himself from sinking under the heavy burdens. Faith was the way David kept himself from giving in to unrest. Faith was the way David had no fear. Faith caused David to worship instead of worry. Faith gave David strength and supply of grace from God in heaven. Look at the person beside you and tell them, grace from God in heaven gives us strength to face our trouble. Listen, when you put your faith in God, God puts his strength in you. God will make you strong to endure something. I ought to have a witness here. Somebody who knows the only reason you are sitting up in here this morning is because God has given you strength to endure the troubles that you had to endure. Somebody here ought to be a witness. The reason you are in here and you are saying is because of the grace of God. When you put your faith in God, God puts his strength in you. The Bible says in Isaiah 40 verse 29, he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Praise the name of God. Notice David in verses 14, 13 and 14. David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. By an effort of faith, the psalmist David saved himself from the despair which seized upon him. He assured himself that he would experience the goodness of the Lord in some merciful interposition and deliverance while he still remained on earth. Listen, there are times in your life you will deal with trouble. People won't be able to encourage you. There will be times in your life things will be so bad that instead of people coming to you, they will run from you. But what you will have to learn to do is to encourage yourself in the Lord. You're going to have to pat your own self on the back and say, God got this thing. You're going to have to speak to your own heart and say, settle yourself. God got this thing. You're going to have to settle your mind and say, listen, don't you fret. Don't you get worrisome. God got this thing. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He tells himself to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, this is an exhortation, not to others, but to himself. His stronger self is speaking to his weaker self, not to despair, but to wait upon God. Now, this is not the only time in Scripture where David exhorts himself in the Lord. In Psalm 62, verse 5, David said, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. In Psalm 42, verse 5 and 11, David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. David in 1 Samuel 30 verse 6 said he was greatly distressed because of the men who were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because his son and his daughters, their wives had been taken. But David found the strength to encourage himself. Listen, your encouragement won't always come from the horizontal plane. You need a connection with God on the vertical plane, because God can encourage you like no one else can. David told himself to wait on the Lord. Now, waiting is not easy. Come on in the house, lights. Waiting is not easy. You know, we want what we want when we want it. We have a problem with waiting. You know, we want definite time. If we're in conversation with someone and they say, well, I'm on my way, and we want a roundabout time, because we hate waiting. We ask questions like, well, how long would it take you to get here? What time do you think you'll show up? What you got to do? We ask questions like that because we want a definite time. We hate waiting. Not only do we hate waiting on people, but we hate waiting on God. There are times God will delay in his coming. Let me prove my posture. Jesus and his disciples took their time getting to Lazarus.
Yeah, that's right.
Because God had something planned that he wanted to put on display. Took their time getting to Lazarus. Matter of fact, the Bible says that by the time they made it to where Lazarus was, he had been dead 4 days. And his sisters, Mary and Martha, came out and accused the Lord Jesus of being too late. But listen, it is never too late for the Lord, because the Lord God, he has what is called due time. May not come when you want him, but somebody can be a witness. He's always on time. He's never a second too late, a minute too late, a day too late. He's always on time. But the problem is not with God, it's with us. We hate waiting. I know, I hear you praying for patience. But you better know what you're praying for. Because patience is produced through painful experiences. It is the brother of Jesus James who said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and patience shall have her perfect work. It's in the midst of trials and troubles, tribulations, that the Lord produces or develops patience. So when you're praying, you better know what you're praying for. Because when you pray for patience, what God will do is enroll you in a class of hard knocks. Yeah, we want it, but we don't want to go through it. So the psalmist says we have to wait on the Lord. You can't hurry God. You just have to wait. Trust and give him time, no matter how long it takes. He's a God. You can't hurry. You don't have to worry. He may not come when you want him to come, but he's right on time. Look at somebody and say, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Come on, help somebody. Look at him and tell him he's an on-time God. Come on, put that little laugh with it. He's an on-time. Listen, feel good in your spirit. Look at somebody and tell him he's an on-time God. This is the only time you'll be able to yell and shout at him and get away with it. Tell him he's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. It is David. In Psalm 27, he shares with us several things about the sustaining power of faith in God. First of all, David, he reveals to us his faith that he put in God. It was personal faith. Verse 1, David used personal pronouns. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That sounded so good, I think I need to say it again. He said in verse 1, he used personal pronouns. He says, the Lord, the capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh, is my light and my salvation. He says, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Brothers and sisters, in this life, you need personal faith in the Lord. It will come a time, if it hadn't already, where you will run into some trouble, and grandmother's faith, granddaddy's faith, mama's faith, dad's
granny's faith, uncle's and aunt's faith can't help you with your trouble. You need personal faith. Oh, brothers and sisters, you need to be like David in times of trouble. You need to know the Lord is for you. I know he's for me. Boy, doesn't that sound good? Come on, y'all say it. I know he's for me. Come on, talk to him today. Lord, I know you're for me. You done brought me through too much on yesteryear and on yesterday. I know you're for me. Come on, you ought to feel good. Lord, I listen, how I'm looking and how things are going in my life, I know he's for me. It could have been another way around, but because he's fought me, I can say, God, I thank you that you're for me. Yeah. David said, the Lord is my light. Note now, he did not say merely that the Lord gave him light, and the Lord does give light. But he says, the Lord is my light. The word light is or in Hebrew, which means illumination or luminary in every sense of the word. In other words, when God is in your life, there are no dark places. The word or also means happiness. That the Lord is our happiness. In the darkest period of your life, I'm not saying your life is dark, but you can be in dark circumstances and situations. But David said that in the darkest of situations and circumstances, God illumines your life. He lights you up. Oh my God, help me preach. He lights us up. Light is the revealing power for guidance. God is my light. He is the brightness of my life in times of darkness. He is the light that causes me to shine. I know it's hard for some of you to understand that you are to shine. But let me help you in scripture. Jesus said in Matthew 5 that you are light of the world. So God wants you to shine. He wants you to have the light of life. Some of you dim and dismal. Some of you feel as if you have no life, because you think there's no light. Some of you look today as if the world you live in is on top of you. You hadn't praised the Lord since you've been here. Choir whooping and hollering at you, and you're just sitting as if you're watching TV. You got so much going on in your life. I'm trying to help you with faith. But you have so much going on in your life, you still trying to figure out how you are going to make it. And David said, you need firm faith that the Lord is light. But not only did he say light, he says the Lord is my salvation. He is again, he didn't say that the Lord gives salvation, and he does give salvation. But he said that the Lord is his salvation. The word salvation is yeshah in the Hebrew, which means liberty, deliverance, prosperity, safety, and saving. That the Lord liberates, he frees, he prospers our lives so we won't be enslaved to poverty. He's our place of safety. He is our saving. My God, he's my salvation. And he goes on to say, my strength. And strength is better said defense, bulwark, or rock. In other words, strength means strong place or fortified city. Listen, you have to understand that what God has done in your life, people can't undo. Because God is stronger. Where God has you in life, no person can expel you from it. Help me preach, Lord. So the Lord is a strong city. Listen, I'm well kept. You are well kept. Listen, I don't care what the situation is. It can be sickness. It can be, you know, debt. It can be disease or whatever the situation may be. But you have to understand that you are well kept because God is your fortified city. I'm in a safe place. Come on, encourage yourself. Say, I'm in a safe place. Yeah, I see the storm. Yeah, I hear the winds, but I'm in a safe place. I'm perfectly safe. Oh, I can relax. If I was at the house preaching from the house, I would get in the recliner to illustrate to you how rested and how relaxed I am. I'm in a safe place. I may need a recliner in the pulpit so I can show you just how relaxed I am. Somebody here ought to know what I'm talking about. You determine in your heart that you're not going to let circumstances and situations bend you all out of shape and make you act all out of who you are in the Lord. Listen, I can be calm, collected, and composed even in the midst of my trouble, because in the midst of my troubles, I'm in a safe place. David put his faith in the Lord. Notice the conditions in which David's faith endured. David lists four harsh realities about his life experiences. He says, I am pursued by enemies in verses 2 and 3. And he says, the Lord wouldn't let my enemies get too close to me. And whenever my enemies got close to me, God would stick out his divine foot. And trip them up. And my enemies would stumble. But they couldn't gain the balance. They had to fall. Listen, there are many people who wanted to get to you, but God kept them from getting to you. Yeah, don't you think everybody that smiles in your face and call your name means you good? No, not everybody. Some of these people, God had to stick out his divine foot. And keep them from getting to you. They got close. But before they got too close, they stumbled and fell. Listen, there were people on your job who wanted you fired. You still clocking in. They got close, but they stumbled. There are some people who were talking against your marriage, and they wanted your marriage to be dissolved. They got close, but they stumbled and fell. Some people were talking about your household, your children, and everybody in your house. They got close. And some even had you when you were coming to church. And they got close. But when they got too close, God stuck out his divine foot. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. David said, I had enemies pursuing me. He says, I was shut off from the house of the Lord. He says, I was run out of town. He says, I desired God. He says, this is what I desired all my life. He says, not only was I run out of town, he says, I was forsaken by mama and daddy. There it is in verse 10. When mama and daddy forsook me, then the Lord took me up. Oh, that ought to be a word for somebody. That the closest to you sometimes will walk out of your life. And David says, that's all right. Because when the closest forsake, I got a daddy that's bigger than my daddy. I got a daddy, I got a father that will be a mother to the motherless. He says, when they forsook me, the Lord came in and bared me up. David says, I was subject to slander. There it is in verse 12. He says, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. In other words, they're not saying anything good. They're trying to kill my reputation. Everything come out of the mouth is bad. Listen, let me warn you. It's not only people in the streets that'll breathe out cruelty. Some of these folks in here with a tie on the neck and a suit on the back with a dress and a hairdo or wig would be some of the people that are breathe out cruelty.
That's right. That's right.
I'm almost finished. David said there were some hard conditions. He said, but I had to strengthen my faith. Continuance of strengthening my faith. Well, David, how did you do it? Verses 4 through 6. David strengthened his faith through desired communion with God. He says one thing I desire. I got a whole lot going on. Life is in a storm. He said, but there's one thing that I desire, that will I seek after. I got a whole lot of people seeking after me, and they don't mean me any good, but there's one I'm seeking after that can handle all of my enemies. He says, I strengthened my faith through desired communion with God. That's why when I come to church, I don't have time to be occupied with what he say or she say. I only want to hear what he has to say. When I come to church, I don't have time to put on a show. I want God to be a God in the midst of us. Do I have a witness? He said, I strengthened my faith through desired communion with God. He said, I strengthened my faith through frequent seclusion. Sometimes God has to run you away from people. Sometimes God has to get you all by himself. Sometimes God has to get rid of the distractions. Sometimes God has to remove people out of your life. Because as long as you have certain people in your life, you won't see God. But when God removes people out of your life, it will give you that desired communion with God. And it's just you and God, and God and you, and God. All right. Another way David, he strengthened his faith in the Lord, was through worship. He had thankful worship. He gave sacrifices of joy and shouting and singing of praise. When you have gone through a week of hell and high water, you ought to come into the sanctuary on Sunday morning with sacrifices of joy, shouting and singing praise. You ought to lift up your voice and tell God, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for a portion of health and strength. Thank you for all you've done for me and my family. When I got up this morning, I said, good morning, God. Thank you for another day. I looked over and looked at my wife, and her stomach was going up and down. That was telling me that she had breath in her body. Thank you, God, for sparing my wife. I got out of the bed and went and looked over at my daughter in her baby bed, and I saw that her stomach was going up and down. And I said, God, thank you for blessing my daughter, Trinity. Thank you, Lord. When I got my clothes on, I thanked him for my clothes. When I got in the car and hit the button and the car started, I thanked God for the starting of the car. When I was on my way to church, I broke out in a praise party, because every second and every minute, the Lord was keeping me. When I made it to New Bethlehem's campus, I gave God another thanks, because the Lord kept me from home to the church. And when I got in the sanctuary between 7:30 and 8, I saw people kneeled on their knees praying and thanking God for another day. And I fell down on my knee and started praising and praying to God. I said, thank you, sir, for another day. Is there anybody in the room? Thank God for another day. You ought to look at somebody and tell them, thank God for another day. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, I wouldn't be up in here, up in here, up in here. But because of the Lord and his grace, I got a smile on my face. I got joy in my heart. I got peace in my mind. I got clapping in my hands. I got a hallelujah in my mouth. I got a jump in my legs. Is there anybody here? can thank God for another day. Not only do I thank him for another day, but I thank him for salvation. He went to a hill called Calvary, and he let him nail his hands and rivet his feet. He let him put a crown of thorns on his head. He let him drop him between two thieves. Is there anybody know he died? Didn't he die? If you know he died, why don't you help me close this sermon union style? You ought to stand on your feet and give him praise, because he died that Friday evening. But thanks be to God, that's not the end of the story. Early, 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 before the dew could fall, early, before the rooster could crow, early, before the S-U-N could come up, early, before the women made it to the tomb, your Savior and my Savior, your Lord and my Lord, got up from the grave and raised his hand and said, all power is given unto me. Let me ask you my question, and then I'm going to my seat. Thank the Lord. All right, if you know he's all right, let me hear you say yeah.
The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. You can come by letter. Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come on, April. Give us some of that song y'all will pray. Play it. Come on, baby. The doors. Give us that song you were playing during prayer. That song you were playing during prayer. You know that song you sing. Come on, make up some if you don't know what it is. Want him to be glorified. Yeah. That's all we want, is for the Lord to be glorified. Come on. This is the last song. That's it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Y'all sing with all your might. Come on, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. To God, glory to God. Say it, say it. The doors. The Lord said, come
on the inside. Oh, on the inside.
Pastor say, come. Preachers say, come. Deacons say, come. Church members say, come.
All I want is for you to be glorified, you to be lifted high.
Come on, give him a wave.
All I want is for you
the inside of me. May you delight, Lord, from the inside, Lord, from the inside of me. Come fill my life, Lord, from the inside, Lord, from the inside of me. Set me on fire, Lord, let it burn, yeah. Lord, let your Holy Ghost burn, yeah, and inside of me. Cause all I want is for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. All I want, for you, for you to be glorified, you to be lifted high.
To God. Sister Washington, Sister Washington, is that you? So good to see you. She's on our prayer list for losing her sister. And we thank God for your presence today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for what our ears have heard, eyes have seen, hearts have received. Thank you, Father, for faith to deposit in you. Lord, by faith, we will endure all trials, tribulations, and troubles. Father, by faith, you will guide us from this place. Keep us. And Father, give us, Lord, fellowship on the evening through the Zoom. Lord, thank you for sticking out your divine foot to trip up our enemies. Thank you for being our safe place. Thank you. Lord, we give you praise. If we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough. But with the one we have, we do our best to exalt your name. Lord, I thank you for using us to affect change in our community. We know that our labor is not in vain. For Lord, you will anoint, you will empower all we set to do for your glory and man's good. Now may your grace, peace and love, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us both now, henceforth, and forever. And every heart say amen. Brother Jesse.